Chensia Crochet. Good morning, Chensia, first of all.
Good morning.
I guess I should say good day, but hello to you.
Well, it could be good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever someone is listening to this.
Right, right, right. So good middle of the night to you, since you don't have any idea what time we're recording this. Anything to start off with before I kind of go into the notes that I've got?
No, this is your turn to lead the program. We're going to mix it up today. So you get the lead, so go right ahead.
All right, very good. You suggested recently that we talk about a topic that I brought up some time back. A lot of people in the Republican Party have been wishing, hoping, praying for years now that blacks would in great number leave the Democratic Party, come into the Republican Party. And this gained a name, Blexit, B-L-E-X-I-T. In other words, the black exit from the Democratic Party. And like I said, it's really a hope and a dream, a quote, don't call me racist, bro, unquote, play on the right. And I've pointed to election results now since Barack Obama was first elected in 2008. You had 95%, I believe, in both 2008 and 2012, vote for Barack Obama. This is of blacks, 95% of blacks. You had 90%, approximately, vote for Hillary Clinton, 2016. In 2020, Donald Trump won about 12% of blacks. So from 2016 to 2020, he had about a 2% net gain in the black vote. I'll stop there for a second. Do you have anything to say about what I've said so far?
You said that you went back to when Barack Obama ran for office. I went back a little further than that, 40 years to be precise. And this is from the Roper Center. As always, I will include a link in the show notes so that individuals can verify the information themselves. This is what I found. In 1980, Ronald Reagan won 14% of the black vote. In 1984, he dropped down to 9%. In 1988, George H.W. Bush won 11% of the black vote. Now, this was after Reagan made MLK Jr. Day a national holiday, which was very controversial at the time among conservatives. But they were told that such a move, such a gesture, was sure to bring in more black voters into the Republican Party. Like I said, 11%. In 1992, George H.W. Bush dropped down to 10% of the black vote. In 1996, Bob Dole received 12% of the black vote. Now, this is after he selected Jack Kemp as his running mate. Jack Kemp was the original big tent Republican. He supported affirmative action. He was a promoter of the enterprise zones, which were designed to bring economic development to primarily black areas. An idea that Tim Scott has sort of picked up and repackaged into the opportunity zones. Again, all they received was 12%. In 2000, George W. Bush received 9% of the black vote, and in 2004, he increased it to 11%. And that brings us back to where you started, which was when Barack Obama ran for office. Going back 40 years, the best the GOP has ever performed with the black vote was in 1980 when Ronald Reagan received 14%.
I'm glad you reiterated that because I was going to bring that up and say, did you say Reagan got 14%?
Yes, 14%. The historical trend has been for the Republican Party to receive around 10% of the black vote, sometimes a couple of percentages more, sometimes a couple of percentages less, but that's the range. The only anomaly was when Barack Obama ran for office. John McCain, I believe he only received 4% of the black vote, but that's understandable. This was an opportunity to vote for the first black president in American history, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Opportunity for many black voters, so it's perfectly understandable. So when Donald Trump in 2020 received, 12% of the black vote. All he did was return to the historical norm. It wasn't this great success that many of his supporters like to pretend it was.
He lost net 2% of the white vote, gained 2% of the black vote. The white vote being a much, much larger population than black population. Net, he lost votes, pretty much. So we're going to give up an equal percentage of a larger population in exchange for an equal percentage of a much smaller population.
By the way, I have seen several articles recently sort of echoing what we're saying in this podcast, and that is that the GOP pursuing the black vote is a waste of time. I don't want people to think that we are jumping on somebody else's bandwagon. This is something that we talked about for many years. You wrote about it back in January 2019. You wrote an article titled "Blexit Won't Happen, Don't Hold Your Breath." Pretty straightforward, to the point title. And in that article, you talked about how the Democrat Party has earned the loyalty of black voters.
Well, and I mentioned a couple of different points in that article. Everybody likes to point out, the Republicans were responsible for the Voter Rights, not the Voter Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act. Yeah, they were. And right after that, Democrats saw that, wow, we're going to completely lose the black vote. Or alternatively, maybe they said, you know what? I just snapped in the air and I said, you know what? We could, by golly, we could win those black votes. You watch. And it's the famous quote from LBJ that is always ascribed to LBJ, at least, that I'm gonna get all those black people to vote Democrat from now to the end of time. The way that he did that was the Great Society and all the programs that came about from that, all of that type of stuff that the Democrats continue to produce for the black communities. And many of those programs have benefited white Americans more as a raw number, okay, because white Americans are a much larger percentage of the population than blacks are. But they were passed for blacks specific. Blacks understand that if we vote Republican, when the Republicans are saying we're going to make the government smaller and we're going to shrink the budget, for example, or we're going to, you know, make this a meritocracy and so on and so forth. I mentioned several of those points in the article.
Let's face it, the way the black middle class was built the last 60 years, it has been through government employment, government contracts, affirmative action, and lately, diversity and inclusion.
Diversity has been a huge thing in the last decade. I've hypothesized that there may be more of an impact with this whole push for diversity, equity, inclusion on positive impact on the black community, the black middle class, than anything affirmative action or equal employment has ever accomplished. Certainly in a smaller time period.
But recently, the University of Massachusetts Amherst released a poll that confirms what you argued years ago, that the Democrats have come up with the policy formula to win the loyalty of black voters. The poll was conducted May 31st through June 8th of this year, and it found that 64% of black respondents said the Democratic Party represented their interest somewhat well or very well. On the flip side, 76% of black respondents said that the GOP was doing, quote, not too well or, quote, not well at all in representing the interest of their community. Exactly what you argue.
Blacks understand that if we vote Republican, this all goes away. This is going to impact us negatively.
Yes, it all goes away. That's why I find it so insulting when I hear conservatives go, oh, you're just on the plantation, like they're just a bunch of dummies. They're voting against their interests. No, they're not. They're voting for their interests. They've seen the impact that these policies, whether it's affirmative action, whether it's diversity and inclusion, oh, you can just compete like everybody else. Wait a second. We now finally have a situation where the famous words of the Jefferson, we finally get a piece of the pie, right? And you come along and you're telling me, hey, what gave you that piece of a pie? We're going to take that away from you, but vote for us. It just doesn't work. It just does not work.
What is it that you would have to do in order to gain the black vote? And I've said the policies of the GOP are not what blacks want. And that's pretty obvious. When you listen to blacks talk about Republicans, they're not on board with anything that we want. Everything that we want is completely opposite or at odds with what blacks want, whether it is they're making the conscious decision, here's what we want, and this is what we're out for, or whether they're just following orders, if you want to put it that way. If you can gain 10% of the black vote, vote, and at the same time, not lose white votes, then I say, do it. Go for it. But the next question is, okay, now tell me the policy that we're talking about. Now, if you said, I'm going to give a blanket presidential pardon to any blacks who have ever been incarcerated, who are felons, who have ever been put in prison for anything, that's going to gain the notice of blacks. But if you're going to give a blanket pardon to anybody for anything they've ever done in crime, how much support do you think that there's going to be for that among whites? Do you think that that's somebody who's going to get elected as a Republican?
No, they would not be elected as as Republicans. And actually, as you were talking about the issue of the policies, this is an article from theroot.com. Of course, we'll put the link in the show notes. It came out May 8th when Tim Scott was making some noise about running for president, which the title is, Who the Hell is Tim Scott and Will Black People Vote for Him? And the answer in this article, and just to cut to the chase, is no. But in looking at why they say blacks will not vote for Tim Scott or the Republican Party, quote, Black Americans take a dim view of those from their race who stand tall and proud in a Republican Party that has opposed civil rights laws, made voting more difficult, and is currently on a crusade to outlaw diversity and inclusion policies. End of quote.
That quote is as close to a summary of everything that I've said on Blexit and diversity that I can imagine in the English language a person coming up with. And the fact that it is a black commentator saying, basically giving the middle finger to Tim Scott and the Republican Party.
The article actually begins with, Clarence Thomas ain't welcome at a cookout, and neither is Scott. So they're not welcome to the cookout, guys.
There you go. I mean,
it gets better. Quote, other white GOP nominees, however, would love to run with a black man despite centuries of slavery, lynching, and Jim Crow. Gleefully tells white voters that what they want to hear. America is not a racist country. End of quote.
One of the very few quotes from Tim Scott's announcement speech was just exactly what they're describing in terms of the terminology that he was using. He was talking about his grandfather and looking at the windshield of his life, not the rearview mirror of his life, and making the point that this is a land of opportunity, not a land of oppression. That's exactly the type of just red meat fodder that white people eat up, because we want to be told by a black person we're not racist.
Blacks believe that this country is a racist country. So for you to attract black voters, you will lose the conservative Republican voters.
Correct.
In this article, it talks about for white GOP nominees, Scott will serve as a shield, blocking descriptions of the party as racist. Quote, see, I can't be racist. I'm running with a black guy. End of quote.
Wow. Whose words does that sound like? This whole, don't call me racist. We have to recognize that this line of thought, this line of rhetoric that, oh, we can hope and pray and fantasy land, blacks come and vote for us. And that's just not going to happen. And we can't depend on that. The only hope that I've got is to just mock people into recognizing that is not going to happen. Wake up, grow up, and recognize that you're never going to have their votes. And that's okay. You don't want their votes, because what you would have to do to gain their votes, you would lose our votes. So get over it. They want something different. Let's talk about, okay, you want this, we want that. We want two completely different things. Now, can we operate side by side, or do we need to separate? That's what the conversation needs to become.
The Republican Party is an open party, right? There are no barriers for blacks to vote Republican if they want to. If you agree with the agenda, vote for the party. There's nothing blocking anyone from voting for the GOP. The reason why they don't vote is they don't agree. We hear this rhetoric, oh, they just want the same as any other American. No, that's not true. They're different Americans, and different Americans want different things. And I think when you look at how they vote, it's clear that they have very different ideas. And I'm not putting down their ideas. We're all free Americans, and we can choose what our preferences are. They're just different. They're just different.
That's the thing that drives all of this, is we've lost the ability to respectfully state exactly that. I want this. Oh, well, I want this. Well, I disagree with you. What you want is different than what I want. And I respect that, but our conversation is basically now finished. You want something completely different than me. Neither one of us is going to change each other's mind. So, first round at the bar is on me.
Later on, he talks about socially conservative blacks Democrats who agree with Tim Scott's religiosity, his opposition to abortion rights and same-sex marriage. But then it goes, quote, Black voters, though, won't appreciate another aspects of Scott's political career, notably that he has been doggedly obtuse when it comes to race, end of quote. So the issue of race and this being still a racist country, that is the number one item in the agenda, in the mind of Black Americans as they look at their political choices. And they may not agree with the Democrats when it comes to some of the issues like abortion rights. I know that Black pastors were adamantly against same-sex marriage. All of that is trumped by the issue of race as far as how they look at politics. So, conservative, do you really want to start saying, yes, this is a racist country? Yes, we come a long way, but we got a long way to go. Do you want to embrace diversity? Do you want to embrace affirmative action? Do you want to embrace this more lenient attitude towards crime? Because that's what you'll have to do. And at that point, why not just be a Democrat?
I mean, there's not a lot that I can say in opposition or disagreement to that. It mirrors a lot of what I've said. Now, I think that the article that you just quoted, I mean, when they use terminology like doggedly obtuse on race issues, I don't see how you can put a single topic on the table. I don't see how there's a single policy topic that Blacks are going to consider diversity, for example. You want to take away diversity?
There's another aspect too that we always talked about a lot, and that is how the GOP always doubles down on things that just don't work. I mean, how long has the GOP talked about Planned Parenthood being in Black neighborhoods, killing Black babies? I mean, that's been a talking point now for quite some time, right?
Yes.
Okay. Has that changed any votes? Has parading Alveda King around changed any votes?
I don't believe so. I don't see any evidence of it. I mean, again, 90% voting for one of the most pro-abortion, pro-Roe candidates in Hillary Clinton ever. You see no evidence. Perhaps the biggest success of Donald Trump is the overturning of Roe by the Supreme Court. And in the wake of that, you see no discernible information that the Black community is shifting 1% to the Republican Party in 2024. None. We didn't see it in 2022. We are not seeing anything leading up to 2024. There is no evidence that the fact that Roe just went away was even a blip on the radar in the Black community, period. Am I correct in that? Do you agree with that?
Oh, I agree with that. I absolutely agree with that. I mean, it's even worse when you think about Donald Trump did the First Step Act. And he had the commercial of that woman. I forgot her name. I think her name was Alice. And she was one of the people that Kim Kardashian brought to the attention of Donald Trump, talking about how she got a new lease on life. So you had Trump, who did the First Step Act, running against Biden, who was the author of a lot of the tough on crime legislation during the Clinton years. So who did the Blacks vote for in 2020? The guy that released Blacks from jail or the guy that incarcerated them? Voted for the guy that locked up a lot of Blacks.
Yeah.
The other issue the Republicans always talk about is school choice. Mm-hmm. And this, I mean, this started with George W. Bush. You remember the soft bigotry of low expectation? And I mean, there've been school choice legislation, I think, in Ohio and several other states. And I think they're pushing it here in Texas now. Has that resulted in a higher percentage of the Black vote? Not that I see.
Yeah. I haven't seen any evidence of it.
I've looked for the Tim Scott statistics, exit polls on that, and I couldn't find them. Of course, Tim Scott has generally run against another Black Democrat. So, but let's look at John James in Michigan. Remember, he was the new up-and-coming star of the Republican Party? Well,
yes.
In 2018, he got 8% of the Black vote. This is a Black man running against a white woman, and 8%.
All this really amounts to is Blexit is a grifter fantasy for boomers, baby boomers, desperate not to be called names, and for scammers trying to make a buck. I mean, the best that the adherence to Blexit could do was the favorability ratings among Blacks, where they were favorable view of Trump of between 20 and 30%. But in 2016, they voted for him 10%. 2020, they voted for him 12%. But they were basing, oh, the adherence to Blexit, oh, see, Blacks are 20, 30%. 10%. And I started pointing it out. I was like, guys, this is favorability rating. This is not election rating. Oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, you're just being a hater. You're being whatever the terminology was that, you know, these people were using. This is not based on strategy. This is not even based on understanding what a favorability rating is. This is just a poll. This is an opinion poll. What is your general view of Donald Trump? Well, I'm 30% positive on him. Oh, okay. You're going to vote for him? 10%.
I think this has nothing to do with trying to win an election. But if that was truly the goal, then they would look at your analysis and say, you know what? It makes a lot more sense, numerically speaking, to get a larger percentage of the largest block, because that's the easiest way to get the numbers to win the election. What it does say is, to me, this is my analysis, and I may be 100% wrong. I think it goes to the fact that conservatives have bought into the Democrat progressive notion that unless you're diverse, unless you are a party that attracts diverse voters, okay, minority voters, then there's something fundamentally wrong with you. You're somehow morally deficient. Mm-hmm. You're not a good person. It's about their own insecurity. It's mm-hmm. not about winning elections.
I mean, there's not a lot that I can say in opposition or disagreement to that.
I mean, Republicans love to talk about how they're result-oriented, business-oriented, and so on and so forth. Okay, you've had all these characters like Candace, like others. I mean, here in Texas, I remember that raging elephant. Remember that?
Yes.
Bottom line, have they delivered any black votes?
No.
Move on. Why do you still have them around? Because the purpose of Candace Owens is to make mostly boomer conservative mm-hmm. feel at ease. We're not racist. Okay. We like Candace. We like Diamond and Silk. I mean, why were they able to get the audiences? Because again, you got these boomers who are just, oh, I'm not racist. Look, I like Diamond and Silk. Mm-hmm. When the whole controversy over the CRT exploded.
Yes.
And I oppose CRT. I think it's wrong. Okay. I don't agree with it. I oppose it. The conservative were always finding video of some black parent that went before the school board and would sort of rant against CRT. And they would always post the video of the black parents. It's like, what are you trying to tell me? That if you can't find a black person to oppose CRT, you're going to be okay
with
it?
Well, and that's the overriding, I guess, point of all of this is Blexit's not going to happen. Stop being, what's the term that you've used? Don't buy into the narrative of the left talking about us, that there must be something wrong with us because we're not diverse. Stop buying into that.
I don't see the Democrat Party twisting itself into a pretzel because 90% of blacks vote for them because they are the black party. I mean, they are the party of the blacks. So why in the hell is the GOP so appalled by the fact that, you know, 60% of whites vote for them? Why does that bother you? Ask yourself that question. Do you believe in the ideas you're putting forward? Do you really believe that that's what's best for America and Americans? If you believe that, then don't worry about it. Don't look around the room and say, oh my gosh, they're all white here. There's something wrong. Doesn't matter. If you believe in the ideas, go forward. Be proud of it.
Correct. You know what you stand for and stand for it, period. Someone else is going to say, oh, well, you're this, you're that, and you're the other. Well, that's nice. Do you have anything else you want to say, or are you just going to call me names? Oh, well, you're just this, that, and the other. You're anti this, and you're, well, and it's worked. It's worked phenomenally well for Democrats for decades, for generations. And it has worked very, very well at stunting our side, keeping us down. Oh, well, they're calling me names, so I have to sit down and
I'm
shut up.
I'm thinking that maybe what we should do for this show is to hold therapy sessions for boomers, how to overcome your feelings when you're called a racist. Okay. maybe right. We need to do that. Maybe, well, we need to do therapy sessions for people.
We have a therapy couch over here at my house, so we can host it here. Have them lay down. So how does it make you feel?
But no, it has been extremely effective for the Democrats. There's no question about it. The Democrats must be just sitting in the corner just laughing and said, yeah, sure, let them run Tim Scott. I mean, they're already calling him an Uncle Tom. I mean, this is so predictable. We've seen it over and over and over.
I know, and Oreo is just right there. They're going to be calling him Oreo and everything. I mean,
Uncle Tom, he's not invited to the cookout. Well, if that's what they want to do, let them do it. I don't care. I wouldn't even address any of that. I would not address any of it. I would go forward with my vision for America, with my policy ideas, and work on that. There is nothing that prevents anyone from any background. There's no barriers to coming into the Republican Party.
Correct.
And voting for the agenda if you agree.
Correct.
That should be the answer. Everybody is welcome. This, if you agree with our agenda, vote for us. And leave it there. Don't get dragged into these fights because you're playing by the rules of the Democrats and they are going
to. That's a very good point. These are the rules of the Democrats. I've said many times we have to stop trying to operate under the same tactics, strategies, talking points of Democrats because their tactics are meant to achieve completely different ends. Brexit, number one, is not going to happen. And then two, we have to stand up and say, look, we don't support the same things. We don't believe the same things. That's fine. They have a different view of what this country is and what it should be going forward. We can appreciate that, but we disagree with you and end it at that. We have to grow a spine and be able to say, I disagree with you. And that's basically what it boils down to. We need to state here's what we're for and stand to it and not curl up and then suck on their thumbs in the corner in the fetal position because somebody calls them names. We're all older than third grade. We should be able to get past that by now.
Yeah, we should be able to get past the name calling. Yeah, I think that's a pretty good summary. Here's my main point. You've tried all these tactics. You've tried all these approaches. You've tried Candace Owen, tried the school choice. You tried Alveda King. You tried Tim Scott and John James. It hasn't yielded any results. That's the bottom line. If you want to win elections, you have to look at results. Now, maybe somewhere down the line, because anything is possible, there may be some policies that would achieve the balance that David is talking about. But until that day, I think they should take your advice.
I agree. I think that's a pretty good place to end it.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.